Good morning, and I'd like to add to welcome to Yorkshire and welcome to Leeds as well, and also welcome to this great building of Northern Ballet and Phoenix Dance, who are based here now. Mark's here, so thank you for offering the services. I'd also start with saying a word from my boss. My boss is Jim Tough, and he wanted me to say he wished, in a kind of like accepting an Oscar type of way, that he's really sorry he can't be here with you today. But the reason he's got a very good excuse, which is he's down in he's in London at a meeting of the Arts Council's executive board, and obviously there's one or two kind of issues going on at the moment, and he's fighting for resources for the North, and in a corporate way, you know, not because we're at loggerheads with our colleagues elsewhere. But if, for those of you who haven't met him, he is a 6'4" Glaswegian. So if you do want somebody fighting for your resources, it's probably him. So apologies from him that he can't be here. He's a link, really, as to, from the Arts Council's point of view, at least, as to why, partly why we're all gathered in this space, which is when both him and me started our jobs in April of this year. Me as the regional director in Yorkshire and Jim as the executive director for the North of England. And he came to, as you do when you're a new person in post, he came to our office in Yorkshire and to meet people and talked about what, you know, some of his values and what he thought and so on. And he picked on Pam. Where are you, Pam?
Yeah, she's doing last minute things.
Just Pam's outside. Oh, I can tell any stories. No, I won't. And said to Pam, so for instance, you know, just take dance as an example. Is the North, because he was thinking about this idea of, you know, how the North works, and because it's not really a structure the Arts Council's used particularly before, and therefore, and that doesn't mean therefore the world operates in that way. But anyway, he said, so what do you think in the North? Can for instance, dancers, can you confidently come to the North to study and train, and then develop other spaces where people can develop their work brilliantly, and maybe, you know, create their own companies, engage with other artists, dancers, and artists from all different aspects. Can people then develop their practice, their spaces that they've got, you know, the mental and physical space to develop that work? And can they then go and take, when that work is there, can they then go and tour it? Is there a touring infrastructure? And is there, and can they, you know, can that work then go out internationally, and internationally even as far as Scotland and London, indeed, from the North? And those sorts of questions. And Pam said, well, not exactly, and you know, and there's a longer discussion. Anyway, it was a passing comment, really. But then, after that, I kind of, my job also in a new role was to go and meet lots of our organisations. And when I've had the chance to do that with organisations involved in dance, this question has come up again, and nobody has come back to me in that experience and gone, yes, absolutely, it's completely fantastic, everything's sorted, it's really good. And in fact, you know, people have got challenges and say, no, it's tough, this doesn't, you know, this is a challenge in this way, this is difficult, that's difficult. And so when we got to then, a couple of months later, having a conversation about what things might we do now we're working in this broader northern way, how can we use that working between the northeast and the northwest to work a bit more better, and dance kind of bubbled up to the surface again within the confines of the Arts Council to a certain extent. In kind of meetings, and we bubbled it around. And of course, we got to the point where we said, well, okay, we're not going to get any further than this until we ask the experts. And that's kind of why we're here, really. In the course of that, the other interesting thing for me was I had the chance to meet Charlotte, actually. And before I'd asked that question pretty well in Charlotte's introduction, you'd all asked all the same questions as well. So we thought, okay, it's a good thing to get people together. So that's the kind of history, I think, of why then we're here now. The other thing I think for the job that the Arts Council does, actually, not just in dance but elsewhere, and a really important job that we can do, as well as funding and things, is bringing people together. There's other examples of how we've done that. I don't know if you're aware, those of you who might engage with people within the visual arts, there's groups in the different regions called Turning Point Networks, which are essentially sort of sector-led groupings in the visual arts, where those people involved in the sector get together independent of the Arts Council and try and kind of make those people practicing the visual arts greater than some of their parts, which has been quite successful and an interesting sort of model. So, I, you know, maybe that's the right thing for dance, maybe it isn't, but there's some sort of models around like that. And the other reason I think meetings, we like to sort of, if we can, support this sort of event is, I was thinking of this on the drive, with our offices in Dewsbury. I was driving home yesterday, and I was nearly in a car crash. Which is fine, as you can tell. It made me start thinking about risk, and I had this idea, I don't know about any of you, but I've been...
I can top that.
You can?
Yes. Okay. I've spent all night in A&E.
Okay, were you in that other car?
About to get in.
Anyway, it made me think about doing risk assessments, and I'm sure lots of you have done risk assessments. And for those of you who haven't, basically you do an event, you think, okay, what could possibly go wrong? What's the worst thing that could go wrong? And then how likely is it to go wrong, and what can we do about it? They're the basic, you know, it's not, there's a sort of, the technical thing about how you do risk assessments. And it just made me think about, yeah, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, actually, this meeting for me is the reverse of a risk assessment, because instead of the idea being, identify the things that could go wrong and then put things in place to stop them, I kind of think that if you want to deal with risk in a bit of a rounder way, you do the other thing, and you actually try and stop really bad things happening, you try and create really good things and put an environment in place in which you allow brilliant things to happen. And I kind of think that this is quite a good way of doing it, getting people together like this, because, you know, there might be a risk, you might all fall out with each other, I don't know how, you know, that's all possible. But there's also that chance that great things will happen, but I'm sure great things won't happen if people don't get together and talk about them. So that's another kind of my little thought about risk assessment. And finally, my other kind of thing is, I'm sure some of you know each other really well, and some of you maybe not so well, and I think that even though I'm sure in a moment you're going to be told how the structure of the day works, I'm also really interested in the bits between the structure of the day, so when you're walking from here to a meeting room and lunch and all those and the conversations you've just been having, and to sort of value those as well. And my suggestion would be, go and talk to some people that you don't know, or else go and talk to some people who you think you know, but actually maybe what you know about them is not right. And that's an opportunity. I mean, you know, obviously in a good way, not in a bad way. I tested this out with Pam, that I was allowed to say this, but I was thinking, okay, I don't, you know, if you kind of just went up and shook hands with people in the dart sector, I don't really know what you talk about, you know. I mean, I kind of... Injuries. Is it? You see, what I thought was, which is your favourite leg warmer? Pam told me I could get away with saying that. So if you object, then tell me later. But anyway, what I thought was, instead of that, why not talk to each other about how dance has changed your life? That would be my thing, because I think the common thing people presumably have in this room, even though some of you are individual dancers, to people who run huge organisations, Mark. But there's that in between it that we all share. And for my part, I'd say my life has been changed by dance as well, in probably a way that's different from anyone in this room, which is that I'm not a dancer, I'm a kind of muso. And about 15 or 20 years ago, I was in a band, and we were doing some gigs. And I sort of managed the band and ran it and so on. Although as a little aside, that's not what it says in my CV about it. In my CV it says, Clooney was the chief executive of a small cultural SME employing six people, but really I was in a band and managed it. And anyway, we were sort of semi-professional, and we weren't getting enough work, and we played folk music and world music from Eastern Europe. It was a slight sort of niche market, and there wasn't enough work. So we all got together in my front room and decided what we're going to do about this. How can we make this, you know, because we all had a great time, how can we do it better? And incidentally, that meeting now in my CV is described as, we had strategic meetings to develop a new business plan. What actually involved was saying we must get more gigs. That was pretty well the end of that. And we had this idea that when we were playing music, quite often people would, because it was from Eastern Europe, but occasionally people would come and dance traditional folk dances, because there's a reasonable Eastern European community in Yorkshire and England, and that sometimes happened. And quite often we did folk festivals, where at folk festivals it's of course a mixture of folk music and folk dance. And so we had this idea about, okay, why don't we develop a sort of an offer where we can go teach folk dance as well. And they said, that's the rest of the band said, that's great, Clooney, you go and do that then. So I went out and learnt some dances and became a dance teacher. And it enabled us to get loads more work, actually, and enabled us to become professional and sort of work for 10 years by doing that, which is great. So that was the way dance changed my life. And I also am a choreographer. This is really stretching the CV. Because, really stretching it. Because the thing about Eastern European dance, many of you may know more than this, folk dance, is there's kind of two bits to it. There's some that's really simple, that you, to use a stereotype, involves all putting your arms around each other and doing this sort of thing in a circle, which is a bit dull to teach people, frankly. And there's other stuff which is so complex you couldn't do it. And we sort of wanted to find something that was in between, that you could teach in the way that you might do a Cayley dance and so on. And so it is a terrible admittance, and maybe you think the ethics of this is awful, but I kind of invented some spurious Eastern European. So if ever you're at one of these things, one of these events, and you come across and somebody says, oh, we learned this traditional dance from a group in England, and it's the Albanian nut stamping dance. Okay, that was me, I wrote that, and it doesn't exist. I don't even know if there's hazelnuts in Albania. So that's how dance changed my life. And, pardon? I'll teach you it later.
Andy. Maybe over lunch.
And so that's how it changed my life, and feel free to come up and tell me how it's changed your life and each other. That would be great, and I hope you enjoy your day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.